Greetings. Welcome to the first in the Cedar Mill Community Library's 2010 series of oral interviews between Sunset High School students and local immigrants. In this interview, we'll hear Alex Gorevsky tell us about growing up in England and what brought him to the U.S.
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Alexander Gorevsky.
Yeah.
Alex is fine. G-A-J-O-W-S-K-Y-J.
So where are you originally from?
I grew up in Manchester, England, which is in the northwest of England, and outside of London and Birmingham, Manchester is about the third largest city in the UK.
What kind of things did you do as a kid?
Well, so the part of England I grew up in was, it's like a lot of places in the US. It's a very sport-centric part of the US. So at school, I played rugby. I was on the rugby team. I wasn't good enough to play soccer. I didn't have the ability because I was a bit heavier than most of them. But I did play rugby, and I played a few other sports. I did some athletic stuff, and I played squash. And I was a big swimmer. I'm still a big swimmer, which is why I keep this incredible physique.
Thank you.
Take it as a compliment. And like a lot of young kids my age at that point, I played in a band as well. I was a musician. I played the drums, I still do occasionally. So I played in a number of bands in the north of England for a few years, And then I got interested in art and design, which, I was very fortunate enough to continue on as part of my career, professional design.
So what kind of stuff do you have designed?
I went to school at a university that had a faculty of three-dimensional design. So it started off after art school. In those days you had to go to art school for a year, which ended up in a national diploma. And they taught you how to draw, introduced you to the basics of design, as a professional design. And then from there, I went to a degree course for three-dimensional design, which included, firstly, things like ceramics, furniture, metalwork, glass blowing, things like that. And as part of that, I did industrial design, product design. I specialized there in things like furniture design, high-tech design, computers and high-tech stuff, and also medical equipment design and automotive design.
That's cool.
So I did that for 3 years, then I did a post-grad right after that, and I got a master's in industrial design, engineering, and majored in medical equipment design. And then right after that, believe it or not, I switched back to automotive design, and I worked in Europe for a couple of years for a couple of companies doing automotive design for a lot of companies in Europe. And then I came to the US in 85 and started working here as a designer, starting off on the East Coast. So British by birth, American by choice. I joined the rebel side.
Why did you choose to come to the US?
It was just it's always been, like, for a lot of people, particularly in Europe, it's just the land of opportunity. I was very fortunate enough to come here when I was a teenager to visit some distant family we've got on the East Coast when I was a teenager. Just fell in love with what the country is all about. It really is a land of opportunity, and it's a place where you can realize your dreams. Some people might not agree with that these days, but I think for people that weren't born here from different parts of the world, I think it really does represent that. And so I was very fortunate enough to be offered. Well, I've been in Oregon now for, I think this year was 25 years, and prior to this I've been living in Silicon Valley in the Bay Area in California, and I'd finished a job there, and I was really kind of looking for something else to do. And I was very interested. I started doing some research on my own into the whole field of sports equipment design. Mm-hmm. And I contacted a handful of companies at the time to see if they could use my skills, and Nike Inc. was one of those companies, and at that time they were looking to grow their design department, and so I came here to work for Nike.
That's cool.
And, you know, I have done it until very recently. I just retired this year, so I've got some time to do some things on my own now, which is great.
Are you a citizen of the United States? Or?
I am. I'm really a proud American citizen. Yes, I am.
Was it hard to become a citizen then?
Well, there's a kind of a multi-tiered process. You know, I first became a permanent resident, and had to go through a process to achieve that, and that takes, that can happen through, you know, some people do it by marrying a US citizen, or in my case it was through an employer who basically sponsored me to go through a process for, you know, permanent residency, so I could have the right to reside here and be here, which was great, and I did. And then after you achieve that status, you have to wait 5 years minimum, and then you become eligible if you want to apply for U.S. citizenship. And I did. I did on the day that I was eligible to do so. Because this is the country that gave me an opportunity. This is my home. I just love it. So it's a lot to me.
Yeah, what kind of tests do you have to take? Like?
Well, it's interesting because when you apply for citizenship, they really, immigration department puts potential applicants through a test. They test your understanding and your knowledge of things like U.S. history, the structure of U.S. government, historical facts, things of that nature. So you basically go for an interview, and they'll ask you questions, anything ranging from name the original 13 colonies to who did we fight in the War of Independence, to name the structures of government. They hope you have a good grasp of the language, you know, English language predominantly still. And you kind of go through a process. It's an interview process, and they check all your facts and verification, and then you go in for a swearing-in ceremony. Mm-hmm. Usually, in my case, it was alongside 100 other people, where you're sworn in as a citizen of the U.S. and promise to abide by the rules and take the responsibilities of citizenship really seriously, because it is.
Yeah.
I very proudly became a U.S. citizen about 10 years ago.
What were the biggest challenges that you faced coming to the United States?
I think way back when I did come to the U.S., I think the biggest challenge for me was obviously leaving my family behind. You know, I didn't have my own family. I wasn't married at that point. I was single, but left behind parents and other brother and other family members behind. And so that was tough. And, it's like anything. It's like, when you go to a new school, you start a new university, or you travel somewhere else, you're kind of on your own. It takes a while to get to know people and get familiar with the new environment you're in, So that stuff was a bit of a challenge, and, just kind of a little bit of a trepidation of the unknown, I think most people kind of overcome that pretty quickly.
What do you like about Skyward?
The rain. No, just kidding. I think, I like the environment here. I like the diversity of environment. Anything from, the forests that we have to, coast and to the mountains, to the desert. It's all within, easy access.
Yeah.
So for me, that's the first thing, the environment. I think the people. I think Oregonians are just awesome people. They're like, they're just like honest. They're like really have a lot of integrity. I think they're tend to be pretty laid back. They're very accepting of other people coming into Oregon.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just a very comfortable place. It reminds me a lot of where I actually came from. So for me, it was pretty easy.
Do you ever go back to where you used to live, back in England?
I do. I'd probably say on average it's been every couple of years or so, every 3 years or so, because I still have some family remaining there. One of my parents is still living there, so occasionally. So it was good to come back, you know, because this for me now is home.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I go back there now, I feel like a foreigner when I go back there.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing, I think, is that, you know, they think I sound like an American over there, which I know I don't understand it either. But I think some of my accent has definitely softened while I've been here.
Mm.
But they kind of find it funny because they think that a lot of the intonation in my accent, they think it sounds American, but I don't notice it. Yeah.
Did you face any like prejudice when you came to Oregon or the United States?
No, I didn't. Certainly not in Oregon. I don't think I've ever faced any prejudice. I think it's only ever been kind of open arms and really good natured. Relationships. Way back when I first came to the US a long time ago, I can remember a couple of incidents, a couple of things that were said to me, which tends to happen to anybody who comes to, you know, particularly new countries, and it happens in all countries. People that come and more like jokes, you know.
Yeah.
That's about it. Well, let's see. I think the biggest striking difference is to begin with was the size of everything. You know, everything over here, you hear these jokes about everything's big in the US.
Yeah.
And it certainly is, you know. And I think a lot of it is because of just the fact there's just sheer more space in the US, you know, so people live in bigger houses because there is the room for it. The appliances here are a lot bigger. Like my mum's refrigerator is the size of my dishwasher, you know. And, the cars used to be a lot bigger. That's changing in the US now. I think just generally consumption, you know, a lot of consumption on a number of levels, whether it's energy or food or, information, anything that people are consuming, just seems to be a lot more of it. It's faster and it's just bigger. That was really the biggest difference, you know. And I think, the other big difference was, although this is a vast country, you compare the sheer size of it to some place like Europe, in the space of Europe, it's almost as if, like in the US, every state was a different culture, different country, people speak. You can just imagine if every state spoke a different language. That's what I grew up with, and coming to the US.
Like in Europe, like all the countries are like closer together, right? It's like a, you drive to different state other than like a country, like in the United States.
Yeah, it's, there's been some changes with the EEC, where they've kind of like basically formed a union, a European Union. But the thing that really differentiates, the culture of it is the language, so the Germans obviously still speak German, Italy, Italian, and so on and so forth. So living in a place where you're kind of in a much more compressed density culture, you're very much aware of that all the time. Whereas in the US, it's a bit different. It's more of a, although everybody speaks the same language, let's say if it is English, although obviously we know Spanish is a close second for, the number of people who speak it, and Chinese and so forth. But it's like everybody basically speaks English. The biggest cultural differences are more by region, whether it's Pacific Northwest or Southern or East Coast, which again gives, a lot of doubt.
What are aspects you miss from your, what do you miss most about it?
Well, I oftentimes miss a good cup of tea, a British deal good tea, although you can get that here now too. I think sometimes I'm a big history buff. I like history, and again, just the sense of history in Europe, because they've had so much of it, obviously that's something you're surrounded by every day.
Yeah.
Whereas in the US, because it's still a relatively new country, anything here that's like 100 years old is like considered very, very old. Whereas in Europe, I mean, you can be walking down a street and see a building that's, you know, 500, 700, 800 years old. You know? So I kind of miss that, only because, you know, that's an inherent part of what many European countries are about, you know, the sense of that history. I miss that. Other than that, honestly, I don't really miss very much.
Have you learned any, like, lessons coming to the United States?
That's a good question. Yeah, some of the things I've learned is wear a lot of sunscreen, drive a car that doesn't consume too much gasoline. Make sure you're healthy so you don't pay too much in health bills. I think really more from a lesson point of view, I'd say it's like stuff that I've come to appreciate more is, you know, just a kind of a respect for like the environment. You know, I think a lot of that's got to do with where we live here in the Pacific Northwest, for one. You know, we're surrounded by, you know, pretty pristine environment, and you know, suddenly when you have that, you realise how important it is not to get taken away. Whether it's woodland or you know, coast or waterway, or, you know, that's something I've learned. So I don't know. That's so much a lesson, but it's definitely something I've come to appreciate. I'd say that'd be about. I think that's about the biggest thing, you know. And now with having a family, you know, I've got a family here. You know, things like that are even more important. So just a general quality of life, which I think is really important here in Oregon to maintain. You look at other parts of the country where
you move to the West Coast. What do you think the biggest difference is between the East Coast and the West Coast?
I think for me, the biggest noticeable difference straight off was just the difference in density of population. Because I have been living when I went to the county of the U.S. and I've been living in Boston area in Massachusetts, and I spent a little bit of time in New York and New Jersey as well. And those areas reminded me a bit more of England in terms of how closely people are living together, because it's just much more densely packed, you know. And I think, you know, coming out here to the West Coast, certainly to Oregon, which by most state standards, it's still very underpopulated, I think, you know, the total size of the state. So that's something that's noticeable, and certainly the weather patterns, you know, is different. You know, I remember when I moved here from the East Coast, and one of the first things I did, I kind of gave away all my, like, you know, sub-zero temperature clothing to, you know, Goodwill. Got rid of all that, because although, you know, it gets cold and kind of wet here, we don't have the kind of snowfalls, the seasonal snowfalls that those guys have, you know. So that was something that was different. And I think people's attitude, behaviour, and I think people's perspectives here kind of reflect the West Coast in terms of, like, you know, being very optimistic and seeing things beyond the horizon. Whereas I think on the East Coast, I think a lot of people, you know, it can be a very I think it can be a very sort of singular kind of vision on how people approach things, and I think a lot of it has got to do with the density, the competitiveness, the lack of the kind of beautiful environment we have here, things like that. You know, I think it all makes a big impact. You know,
yeah.
So those things were definitely noticeable too.